You might like to open your Bible. That's the first step, is to open it. Jeremiah chapter 30. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. It is with God, it is with thanksgiving that we are able to be assembled in your presence for your outworking of that which you have in mind, even from the foundation of the world. So our God, we're looking to you to help us as we have left yesterday and are heading into tomorrow. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. As in our study of Jeremiah up to chapter 30 so far, and we know in God is letting the Israelites know very clear and plain that the trouble they're in should be no surprise. And the tribulation that's coming should be no surprise. Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the temple and the city. That should be no surprise. God is going to go and have the great tribulation. That should be no surprise to anybody. And the false prophets, etc., in Babylon and Jerusalem are giving the wrong message, as we shared. So when we came to chapter 30, in verse 1, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord, God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." So there's going to be a verbal record by way of Jeremiah and a written record, so that if you forgot what Jeremiah said, you can read it, so you don't have any question. So, and God gave us his word that way. Now, having said that, so the chapter 30 is going to spell out the great tribulation. 31 and 32 are going to help us understand the great solution God has. And chapter 33 says, "I'm going to settle it forever." Now, so here in chapter 30, if I can, I'll jump right over to verse 4. These are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and Judah. The 10 tribes of Israel are already in captivity by way of Assyria. The 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, are about to go by way of Babylon. Verse 5, "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling and of fear and of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all the faces are turned into paleness?" It's one thing for a lady to have a baby, and the travail that can come with that. But when all the men are going through the travail, they're going through what? An awesome time of change. Something's happening, and they're in travail. Pain, like what being giving birth. Now, having said that, that time is coming. It's going to be like that, a time of awesome trouble. So, verse 7, "Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. It is a time like no other time." So the tribulation makes all other troubles and all other trials look like nothing. So now, and Nebuchadnezzar leveling the city, which he's going to do, is looking like nothing compared to the tribulation. So, in order to capitalize in the light of what we shared last week, the lot is cast into the lap, and the whole judgment of how it works out is God's. And we took time to do that so we understood how God manages humans, saved and unsaved. How does it work? So, adding to that, the time of Jacob's trouble. So, what is the word trouble? The word trouble comes from the verb to collect, to bring together, to press together, to surround, encompass, like an enemy surrounding a city and pressing in around the city, coming in against the city. Wow, tribulation, great pressure, squeezing. And that's the word, oppression, distress, tribulation, anguish, an adversary coming in and trying to conquer, trying to overcome the heart of a human being. So now, Jacob's trouble then, that's the little word trouble, is going to be like no other. So, in order to capitalize on that trouble, you want to ask yourself, as we do this, now, why do you have trouble? Everyone has trouble. Did you ask for it? Did you want it? Why do people get sick? Why do you get sick and I get sick? Why do we hurt? Why do we fall down? Why do we break a bone? Why do we die? Why? We inherited it, didn't you? You can do nothing about your genetics and all of it that you inherited. Father, grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way back to Adam. You inherited this lot that you live in. And it doesn't go away. And there's no fountain of youth. You're caught in this. That's what you are. And you didn't ask for it. You were born with it. So now, since I got that, I can't make it go away. No, you can't. No, you can't. It isn't going to go away. You're in it. You were born with it. And until it's able to get, till you get rid of it, this body with its sin nature, etc., and all the ills and aches, you're going to have it. But God has done something wonderful when he saves us. Now, hang on to that part. Now, so here's our troubles, and we have them. And in order to at least touch on it, and I'll try to do that Sunday, Lord willing, of that. But here, I'll go over with me to Job. Job and chapter 2. The book of Job and chapter 2. Just to remind you, here's Job way back in the days of Abraham. And in Job chapter 2, picking up, please, if I can, I'm going to go directly to Job's remarks to his wife. He's got all kinds of problems, physical problems from head to toe, lost all his family, everything is... He lost his servants. He's lost his everything. He's sitting there in plague from head to toe, trying to comfort him, trying to find relief. Now, his wife, chapter 2, verse 10. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? We receive good and evil. Why do we receive good and evil? Because Adam and Eve did what? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything was God and good. When they sinned, they entered into a whole nother state. They got a whole another world without God, without good. That's how you and I are born into this world. We're born with it. Should we not receive? Are we? Even Job's a saved, blessed man. But he has subject to all the problems because of evil. And the word evil means all of that which is not good. It's bad. That which is unworthy, etc., etc. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, that's why we got trouble. Troubles, that's the word evil. Evil is the absence of peace, trouble. And we can't look at all that at the moment, but it's trouble. So we got trouble. Evil. All of that which is not good. What is sickness? That's not good. Etc. Now, do one other place at the moment and go over to the Gospel of Mark again, which you know. And in Mark chapter 7, picking up, if I may, you'll recall, like in Galatians, we have the works of the flesh. And that's chapter 5, verse 19. Here it is in a different way. The Lord used it and said it. Chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 18. He saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without, all that you eat, all that you bring into your body, without, do perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him. All the Cheerios you eat will never defile you. If they're terrible, says Cheerios, it will make you sick, but it isn't sin. It ain't gonna make sin in any way. So, therefore, because, verse 19, it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats and food. We get rid of the waste products. Verse 20, he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. That's when in our heart we're born with it. From verse 21, and from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Verse 22, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and an evil heart. Evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and then summing it up, verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Where do we get them? When Adam and Eve sinned, they lost all of the benefits of good, and they have that which is not good. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, back over now, keeping that, that's why we got it. So it isn't going to go away, and you have to understand why it's there, because otherwise you're trying to, why God? You don't have to tell God why. You're just going to say, God, be gracious to me in the light of the conditions. They could be worse. Now, over, please, to Deuteronomy, and I want to look at the time of Jacob and look at Israel as an example. So here, if we can, Deuteronomy chapter 31, we'll pick it up for us. And you recall Deuteronomy is the last of Moses' five books, that he was the penman. And so here in chapter 31, Israel hasn't even crossed the Jordan yet, but they're put on notice, so they know. What do they know? Chapter 31, in verse 17. Again, in the lighter context. Chapter 31, verse 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them. I'll read verse 16 for a little better context. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me, said God, and break my covenant, which I have made with them. They're going to disconnect from God. Verse 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And they shall be devoured, and many evils, there's your little word, evils, and troubles, there's your little word we're looking at, Jacob's trouble, pressing, surrounding you, coming in, squeezing. Trouble. Verse 17 again. I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they shall say in that day, are not these evils, there's your word, come upon us? Why are we in trouble? Because our God is not among us. We left God out of the picture. So we're trying to answer the general daily 24-hour day living without God. And all the ills and aches, the ups and downs, the world conditions, which are horrible, and the national, we're living in them. Now, sliding over if I can, into verse 20. For when I shall have brought them into the land, which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves, in other words, they're taking advantage, all God's going to do, and waxen fat, then they will turn unto other gods, taking everything God has given them without thanksgiving, and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that many evils and troubles, there's your word again, the pressing, squeezing, surrounding you, and many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of their mouths, out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, their thought process, even which they go about, even now, before they cross the Jordan, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. So here's Israel. And Israel is warned what it's going to be, and it hasn't even crossed the Jordan. So we're getting all cheered up to go play the game. And we're ready to go play the game. And we're told by the coach, you guys are going to lose. You're going to be in terrible trouble. Now, they couldn't see that far ahead. All they could do was inch by inch. They weren't looking. They weren't understanding. They needed to, but they didn't. So therefore, all the way back, all through pages of history, here we are, here's history. Here's all the history so far. And we're here. And all this has happened. So it doesn't matter what anyone feels or thinks or believes. What difference does it make? It's all real. We deny reality. It's there. And then God told us. And then we've got this. And this is going to be because we're here. That's why we're reading. We're in this particular time in history. So, having said that, over, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 14. And let's see how the Israelites were doing in Jerusalem. Chapter 14. And if I can, picking up in the light of the context, I'll read verse 7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, so the believing heart knows the problem is our own. We cause it. We got a problem. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. we have sinned against thee. Now, what are they looking for? They're looking for God to be gracious. Verse 8, O, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in a time of trouble, there's your little word, in a time of trouble, trouble. Jacob, keep in mind, God's helping them. And they know it. There's trouble. We got trouble. Everyone does. Why shouldst thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why, verse 9, why shouldst thou be as a man astonished or as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. What do they say? God, we know we're in your presence, but we don't have a relationship to you because of our unbelief. We have disconnected from you, and we're reaping trouble. And you're trying to tell us with Jeremiah the prophet and the others, you're trying to tell us the trouble. But we aren't paying attention to the warning to get out of Jerusalem because you're going to level it. We aren't paying attention. So, having said that, in chapter 14, chapter 15. And chapter 15, in verse 11. The Lord said, Verily, it shall be well with thy remnant, the believing heart. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil, there's the word, and in the time of affliction, which is the word trouble. That's the word you're looking at. Trouble, affliction, distress, that which surrounds us, presses into us. Wow, that's what it does. Affliction. Chapter two, and God is going to bless them. Remember, over to chapter 29, among other things, God told them to go to Babylon, get out of Jerusalem. But they didn't believe. And God had sent so many into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, his one time, two times, and the third time is coming up. And thus, verse chapter 29, verse 4, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives that are already been there and they're already in Babylon, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. God is rescuing a number of them, including Ezra, including Ezekiel, etc. Verse 5, Build ye houses and dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit thereof, eat the fruit of them, take ye wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives, etc., etc. In other words, you're going to be blessed. I'll keep you. I'm going to keep you in a foreign place, a bad place, Babylon. Ultimately, I'm going to get rid of Babylon. But in the process, I'm going to use it. I'm going to be gracious to you even though I'm judging you. So therefore, the affliction and trouble is going to be tempered down. God is going to deal with it. But it's an often time, awesome time. What Nebuchadnezzar is going to do is mild compared to what the Antichrist is going to do. Mild. Therefore, Daniel chapter 12. And in Daniel chapter 12, you'd recall, as we go through, now remember, Daniel is in the time Jeremiah is reaching, is speaking in Jerusalem. Daniel has been shipped over to Babylon in the first time they took him out, 405, in the process, 605. So in the process of that, here's Daniel there, Ezekiel's there, all of Habakkuk's there, they're all there, Nahum's there, they're all banging away, the prophets, trying to help them, but no one's listening. So when we come to chapter 12 of Daniel, in that great prophetic book, verse 1, At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of what, dear friends? Trouble. That's the word. Jacob's trouble. There's going to be a time of awesome trouble. Same setting, tribulation. Shall be a time of trouble, which such as never was since there was a nation. Even to the same time, and at that time, the people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So God, you're giving a warning, it's coming. It's coming. It's going to be there, it's going to, because it's got, we're in trouble, evil. And we aren't fixing the evil with good by way of getting saved, God helping us. So now, therefore, having that little bit and all of that awesomeness and looking at it, go with me, please, over if you can. We're in Daniel 12. I want to finish that little bit. Verse 8. What are we going to do, Daniel? I'm going to go to verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up 12:4, and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Sliding down. So the end's coming. Daniel, there's going to be so much more happening, so much more to be said. Verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not, said Daniel. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And the answer, he said, go thy way, Daniel, to the angel, etc. Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end time of the end. So you can't know any more now. We're at this end of the history where we got revelation. We got all the answers in front of us. We don't have to guess at anything. Everything we need to know is there now. Having said that, chapter 12, Daniel, what are you going to do? God tells him. Verse 13, the last statement, Daniel chapter 12. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot. Remember, the times are cast into thy lot, thy times are in thy hand. Go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. It's all going to work out, Daniel. You can't just forget it. You're just going to die and go to be with the Lord. Until. And then, but I got a day coming, you're going to be the prince of Israel, Mom, in that wonderful time of the kingdom. Now, having said that, now, over, if you would please, to who's the other, another prophet looking down at Jerusalem, Habakkuk. Habakkuk and chapter 3. Now, what does Habakkuk? Habakkuk is, the prophets are very conscious of what's going to happen, obviously. They know horrible things are going to happen. They know that. So, they are moved. The people aren't generally, but the prophets are. And here's one of them, Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 3, picking up, please, verse 16. Habakkuk, do you know what's going to happen to Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, etc.? The temple, the city, the people? I do. Verse 16. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. There's your word. You're going to rest in the day of trouble. God, it's a horrible thing. I want to be able, God, to see it from your window so that I can go through what I'm doing in order to do this properly. Therefore, I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh unto the people, Nebuchadnezzar, he will invade them with his troops. Nebuchadnezzar's going to level the city. And Habakkuk says, God, it's a horrible time. Now, what do you do when you're in trouble? And trouble is there. What do you do? What did you do, Habakkuk? We know what Jeremiah is, as we're going to get there. What does Habakkuk do? Verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. In other words, there's no food, famine, difficulty. It's a horrible time. But there's nowhere to bury people. They leave them on top of the ground. Wow. Yet, that's 17. Verse 18. Yet, remember he wanted to have hope in the light of trouble. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I'm going to rejoice in God's wonderful grace. God's going to outwork his wonderful plan. Each page of the book is going to be worked out. Whether anyone likes it, don't like it, won't make any difference. Your belief doesn't make anything true and doesn't make it work. It's either real, true, or it isn't. You don't make it true. The law of gravity isn't because we make it. I believe it. That's why I don't jump off the roof. Because I believe the law of gravity. Now, I would jump off if this is a fire. You know. What can I tell you? Habakkuk, picking up, please. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So God, I'm going to look to you with great joy as you outwork your plan. I'm going to look for your grace to be able to help me as I go, and joy in the God of my God. I'm going to go, yea, though I walk with the Lord through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go forward. That's what I'm going to do. David said that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the deep darkness, thou art with me. Thou will keep me from evil. Evil, say. But thou will keep me in your good, in your grace. That's how I'm going to get there. It's all around. It's in me. So God, I've got to look to you. Therefore, with joy, verse 18, I'm going to look to you for the outworking as you work it out. And verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. God has a wonderful plan. We've said it 7,000 times. A wonderful plan for every human life. That's why you're born physically. God lets you be born because he prepared God saved the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He did all of that. So, here's a wonderful plan. What do you know, Habakkuk? I'm trusting God. I'm looking God to help me through this whole thing. You aren't going to stop it, Habakkuk. Nope. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to live through it up to a point, not like Jeremiah or Daniel, but I'm going to live my little part in this. I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. God, am I going to lose out as a believer? Habakkuk, are you going to lose out? No. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. And he gives me my hind places, my high places. Can God get us through in this mess? Absolutely. That's what you want. The Lord is cast into the lap. We did it with David. My times are in thy hand. We did all of those things. So we understand them. So we can go with some intelligence as we go forward. That's what we have to do. So therefore, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Make my feet to tread upon mine high places. Can you enjoy God's will for your life in the midst of famine, COVID, and disease and death? Yes. Yes, you can, if you choose to. God, the evil is there. But when you got saved, God, the good, was given to you. Where is the good that you got? From God. Where is it kept? In Christ. So you don't have to worry about spoiling the good or I'm going to mishandle the good. No, you're not. No, you're not. The good belongs to God. And He doesn't give that to anybody. Period. God is the one saving you. Period. You don't contribute one thing to being saved right now. Not one thing. You just allowed Him to be the Savior. Either you did or you didn't. And if you did, you did. That's wonderful. Now, having said that, so God has a wonderful plan. Now, tie that to... Now, in the light of that, if I was one of these guys and you were, Habakkuk and Nahum and all of them, if we were back there, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, what happens? What do? We know biblical history. We have the root. We have Deuteronomy. We have the Psalms. Wow. Okay. Now, that's what. Wouldn't we have them? We could go and read them and trust them. God gave us information. God, what would I do? What would you do if you were them? Psalm 46. And Psalm 46, may I pick up, please? If I can here, this is in the days of Hezekiah, the enemy coming in, Sennacherib to take the city and all of that stuff, and Hezekiah and them, here's Jerusalem in danger, in trouble, and they got to look to God. That's Psalm. Psalm 46. God is a refuge, verse 1, and strength, a very present help, a much found, is the verb, a much found help in, there's your little word, Jacob's trouble, in trouble. God is a much found help. He's findable in the midst of trouble, in the midst of evil, in the midst of all the stuff that happens that isn't good, that isn't God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and by the way, this psalm was one of Martin Luther's favorite psalms, and your hymn that we sing, 33, I think, whatever, a mighty fortress is our God. That's what Luther got this from. A mighty fortress is our God. We sing it. Wow. It encouraged his heart. And Luther had some tough times. Now, Psalm 46, a wonderful psalm telling us, don't be afraid, verse 2, that therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. That's pretty drastic if you ask me. I have to tell you, God makes it so that you can't walk away from it. I mean, the whole thing's going to disappear and you're going to fall into nothingness. Huh, okay. Though the waters thereof roar, verse 3, and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, and there is God is a wonderful stream in a city, etc., etc. Verse 5, God in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God help her, God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen are going to rage, they're going to do what they're going to do. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of who? Jacob. What are you doing in chapter 30, verse 4? Jacob's trouble. Why do you say Jacob's trouble? Because that he's the centerpiece. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. Jacob's the centerpiece. So therefore, Jacob's trouble. Jacob's trouble is in the tribulation, especially the last half. A horrible time. It's Jacob. What are you going to do? You're going to help Israel. Without turning there, we don't have time. Back to Deuteronomy. God tells Deuteronomy, Israel's going to change and fix it. After what? Tribulation. They will go through tribulation and wake up. That's what they're going to do. It's Jacob's trouble. It's Israel's time in this awesome, terrible Antichrist situation to wake up. Therefore, I'll read verse 5 again. God in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that bright early. The heathen rage, etc. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, stop, think about it. Sliding over to verse 10, be still. It's causative. Cause yourself to be quiet. Still. Shut up. Quiet. Don't make a lot. Just be still and listen. Pay attention. Be still. And what? What am I doing being still and quiet? And know that I am God. I'm the one turning the pages. And know that I'm God. I want you to be quiet. Oh, I don't want to. Shh. Shh. Be still and know that I am God. That's what I want you to do. We're in his presence. Wow. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God, are you in charge of the turning of the pages of history? In the light of all the troubles, absolutely. The troubles have to be worked out according to the blueprint of God's wonderful plan to glorify himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And it has to be worked out. And therefore, verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. And going to close how? The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The God of Jacob. Why are you going to tell about Jacob? Jacob's going to go through a horrible time. And God gets him through it. You go back to Jacob's life, all of his blunders and everything. And God blessed Jacob. Blessed him. Wow. As he stumbled along, God blessed him. And God kept him. And God kept Israel, which is out of Jacob, the 12 tribes. 12 sons. God keeps them. Where are we going to look on the earth? There's the Israel over there. We look at Israel. Boy, they aren't believing, and they're in trouble. There's no question. God has a wonderful plan for them. How are we to be encouraged? The God of Jacob, he's going to work it out for them, and he's surely going to work it out for the believing heart in the person of Jesus Christ. He's surely going to do it. Therefore, if you would, over to Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81, great psalm, it's in the Feast of Trumpets, etc. In Psalm 81, picking up if I can, you'll catch it in verse 7. Call unto me, thou callest in trouble. There's your little word you're looking at, Jacob's trouble. Thou callest in trouble, and I will deliver thee. I answered thee in a secret place of thunder. I proved thee, Israel's journey through the wilderness. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Therefore, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou will hearken unto me, are you going to listen? That's why chapter 30 and 31, 32, and 33 in Jeremiah. God said, if you won't listen, I'm going to write it down so you know I said it. You know I'm going to do it. Therefore the wonderful verse we know, you know. Verse 10, I am the Lord thy God. I am the God of Jacob. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's all you have to do. I want you to be like little birds, and the mother bird comes and feeds it, the father bird, whatever, And they come and feed the little birds. And the little birds, what do? They open their mouth. What do little babies do? Aren't little babies looking for their bottle, aren't they? I don't know. I forgot what a baby is. They look for the bottle. Do you have to tell them, open your mouth, and you have to help them? Do you ever do that with a little baby? And you have to open their mouth, with a wrench and everything, like the dentist, Do you have to do that? No. Man, they're ready to go. All the wonderful things we have are based on our wonderful thing, relationship to God. And if we are not good receivers, open your mouth wide. We aren't enjoying God's grace. We need to be, that's how you get saved, John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become sons of God, children of God. You got to receive. You got to be a receiver. That's how you're going to grow. And you aren't sitting there questioning everything. God, we're going to trust you. Is your Father going to take care of you? I guess he is. Does God allow all kinds of things? Absolutely. There's trouble, evil. It's in me. It's in you. I can't make it go away. I can trust God to get me through it. That's what you do. That's all you do. And you look to God and he gets you through it. Well, so God, therefore the people were so excited, all they had to do was open their mouth and God would take care of them. Wrong. Verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. They wouldn't allow it. Now, what stupid thing is that? But that's what they did. And why aren't believers, people, here's 7.8, whatever it is, billion people on earth. Wow. Why don't you get saved? God is a wonderful God. Why do I have to get into a pantheism and everything? God's a wonderful God. You can't avoid him. You can't deny him. He's everywhere. And everything tells about him. But we don't want to believe him. And besides, of all the people that ever came on earth, our Lord is the only one person, God in Christ, in the incarnation, to rise again. And if I'm going to trust anybody, I got thousands of books. We got them all out there. Wow. So the Library of Congress has millions of books. They're all there. But there's only one Bible. And there's only one Christ. And I'm going to trust the one person in all that I know. You probably know more. Of all the people, all history, there's only one person. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ who rose again. And there is no other. So I'm going to start with him. If you can give me anyone better than him, I'll listen. But he's the only one that can tell me the truth. He said, I am the truth. And he rose again to prove it. So I don't have to sit down and debate anything. I have to sit there and say, how can I find out God? How do you know God is? No, I don't waste my time on that. And neither do you. Now, so therefore, and verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, Israel had walked in my ways. I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. I would have taken care of all the problems. Verse 16 in closing, he should have fed them with the finest of wheat, not cheap barley. He would have gave them the finest of wheat. And with honey out of the rock, luxury, I should have satisfied thee. God isn't stingy, he isn't cheap, and he loves being God. So either we're going to let him be or we aren't in a little heart. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Wow. Well.